Please turn to Ephesians 4, verses 30 and 31. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. We saw in our last study about the sin of bitterness, how the apostle warns us about letting a root of bitterness grow up in us, how it will choke the joy and the peace out of our life. If it is allowed to flourish, that root of bitterness will destroy us and all the relationships in our life. Bitter people are sad people. They're hard to get along with, and ultimately they are selfish people because they care for nothing but their own feelings. And it says in verse 30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Bitterness grieves the Holy Spirit. We looked at bitterness. Now the next sin we're going to look at is wrath. We're going to look at wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking and malice today. It doesn't exactly make for happy times, but we have to take the scripture as it's put forth to us. We looked at bitterness. We're told, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Now we'll look at the word wrath. This word refers to passion of the moment. The word in Greek is thumos, where we get our words thermometer and thermonuclear. It carries the idea of sudden, violent explosion of anger. It speaks of wild rage. We would refer to it as flying off the handle. All of a sudden, you're just going at it about your business, and wham, all this anger and bitterness and hatred just comes flying out of your mouth. Somebody cuts you off on the highway, somebody does something to you on the job, a family member does something, and all of a sudden, wrath. When we experience an explosion of wrath, a lot of damage can be done. This kind of wrath is a violent explosion of anger. That's because anger builds up. It blows out and subsides just as quickly. But notice, anger that's built up. You let anger build up. You let a root of bitterness build up, and then it explodes in wrath. As I said, anger built up, it blows out, it subsides, but it leaves terrible scars in its wake. In this kind of an episode, we say things that we really don't mean. We're so angry. These are the words that come out that you say later, I wish I could grab those words out of the air and pull them back. But unfortunately, the damage has been done. We say things we really don't mean, or if we do mean them, we normally would not say them. In our wrath, we hurt the people who are in the epicenter of the explosion. We hurt many times those whom we love. One person described their angry outburst this way. It's like a shotgun blast went off. Boom! And then it's all over. Yes, but look at the damage that's been left behind. Wrath has no place in the believer's life. Wrath in the believer's life always grieves the Holy Spirit. Once again, I remind you of verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Next word, anger. This word refers to a deep, brooding, resentful feeling. an internal smoldering that builds continually. I spoke of it the other day in relation to bitterness. It's like coals smoldering. They just keep on burning, keep on burning. The word means to become red-faced. You ever see somebody when they're angry, how their face gets red? Maybe you've seen your own face. It's the picture of a person who clenches his fist, becomes red in the face, and yet says nothing and does with the say nothing and do nothing out of anger. The anger is usually internalized, red in the face, saying nothing, doing nothing. And it's just holding it in, holding it in, holding it in, just eating away and eating away at you. If this kind of anger is allowed to go on untreated, it results in wrath, outbursts of wrath, and eventually becomes a root of bitterness. You just holding that thing in. You don't know how many people that I've counseled that just hold in the anger for decades against usually a family member, what they did to me when I was a teenager. Brothers and sisters, I'm saying it as gently as I possibly can. No matter what that person has done to you, you have to forgive that person. There's no excuse for what the person did to you as a child, as a teenager maybe, but you have to forgive them. And when you forgive them, that anger will go away. That anger that has been smoldering there for years and years and years. For remember this, that person, whatever that person did to you, they did it to you because they were a sinner, just like each and every one of us were and still are. Even though we're saved now, we still at times let sin get control in our lives. That's why we have this exhortation in the text to not grieve the Holy Spirit, to repent of your sins, and to continue your walk. And we must do the same, brothers and sisters. And I'm saying, once again, I'm not playing down how you've been hurt, but we still must forgive. That being said, we cannot harbor resentment and anger and bitterness. If the kind of anger that's being talked about in our text continues, it will cause you great pain. We have to take it to God and we have to leave it there. And if we cannot do that, then we are to attempt to reconcile with that person and make us angry, who made us angry. We're to take it to God and leave it there. And if possible, we're to reconcile with the person who made us angry, with the handling God's way. Verse 26 tells us, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down, notice, on your wrath. On your wrath. I'm not saying you haven't been hurt, but the Lord said, don't let the sun go down on that wrath. And it could be a righteous anger you have towards the person. You didn't do nothing wrong. You didn't do nothing wrong, but that person sinned against you. And you've been angry, and it's just been building and building and building and building. You have to take it to God and leave it there. We got to handle things God's way. We cannot go the way the world goes. Whatever we do, we are not to allow anger to dwell in our hearts. That anger that just keeps building and building is the antithesis of love for others. It's the opposite of what the Lord has called us. Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor. And even love your enemies. That anger has no place in the life of the child of God. So I would exhort you and admonish you today, please bring that anger to God. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. We continue in our text. The next sin mentioned, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor. This word refers to a shout or an outcry of anger. It speaks of an angry person losing control. When we are angry and our anger grows and it exposes itself in wrath, it will often be accompanied by clamor. We will find ourselves raising our voices. Does that sound familiar? Raising our voices and acting in ways that show we are not under the control of the Holy Spirit. When we act this way, we're walking in the flesh and not in the Spirit. We have to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. That's what this text is saying, to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. Don't continually grieve the Holy Spirit by living in these sins. Yes, will you fall into them sometimes? Yes, we all do. We all have moments where we don't live there and dwell there. We don't practice these sins. We may fall into them, but we must repent in them. Clamor. I've seen this many times over the years. Unfortunately, you see it in the world, but even worse, in the church. In the church. I've heard it in the voices of others in phone conversations. I've seen it in personal encounters with angry people. Clamor doesn't have no place in the life of a born-again believer. When we lash out or act in anger, we have given control of our minds and our bodies to the flesh. And once again, when we do that, it always grieves the Holy Spirit. Next, evil speaking. Notice, all of those sins I mentioned, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking, be put away from you. Just as we saw earlier in verse 22 of chapter 4, that you put off concerning your former conduct, you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, and here you are once again being told to put off, take off, putting away, put away. Put it away like some old, dirty, filthy clothes. Put away. That word evil speaking, in the Greek, it's often translated blaspheme, where we get our word blasphemy, blasphemous. Blaspheme. That's what evil speaking is. Blaspheme. The word speaks of speech. And what I'm about to say, this is, unfortunately, a sin that is prevalent in the church. Blaspheme. This word speaks of speech that is slanderous, whether that's injurious to another person's good names. It injures the other person's good name. When we talk about others in a negative manner, we're guilty of evil speech. This kind of talk is always, always, always the product of bitterness. There's fruit of bitterness, evil speaking. If I love somebody like I should, I will not talk about them in negative ways. I will not gossip about them. I will not try to destroy their reputation. If I love them, I will try to build them up and not tear them down. I will not say by way of dipping my sin in gold, oh, let's pray about that brother or that sister. Let's pray about them. Whereas really, you don't care about them. You just want to gossip about them. You want to slander them. You want to blaspheme them. I'd remind you that God says he hates those that soweth discord among the brethren. Proverbs 6:19. That's strong words, brothers and sisters. The Lord hates that we would sow discord among the brethren. When we're guilty of spreading gossip, seeking to destroy another person's reputation, or doing or saying anything that reflects in a negative manner a fellow believer, we are guilty of blasphemy. When we talk about God's child, we're talking about God himself. That's a dangerous thing to do. You are joined there with Christ. Christ dwells in that fellow believer that you feel that is your right. to rip up and to tear down and speak evil of. If we have a problem with a fellow believer, the Bible says we're to go to them and to talk to them. Matthew 18. If they repent, we're to forgive them. If they don't, and we can't get past the issue, we're to take them to the church for biblical discipline. That's what Matthew 18 is about. Go to him privately. If he doesn't repent, go with two or three. If he doesn't repent, bring him before the church. Don't just start spreading all kind of evil talk about the person. Go privately, then with two or three. If he doesn't repent, then if he still doesn't repent, you bring the person before the church. And they decide on what kind of discipline should be enforced. Regardless of how we handle those we have problems with, we are not to turn our tongue against them. There's a reason why James speaks so much about the tongue. That little tongue can set a forest on fire. It only takes one little match to burn millions of acres of land. And it only takes one little tongue, evil speaking, to destroy relationships, destroy families, destroy churches, destroy nations, destroy the world. Just look at some of the dictators that have risen over the years. And it always comes down to their mouth, the things that come out of their mouth. When we engage in evil speaking, we're doing the work of the devil. To do so is to blaspheme, and once again, it grieves the Holy Spirit. By the way, I will remind you once again, if someone will talk to you about others, they will talk to others about you. If someone will talk to you about others, they will talk to others about you. When they start talking to you and try to slander somebody, just tell them to stop. That if they continue, you go to the person they're talking about and tell them everything they said about them. But most of us lacked the courage to do anything like that. But that would be the right thing to do. Anytime there is trouble in the church, there's somebody involved who is guilty of evil speaking. The Bible says in Proverbs 26:20-22, where no wood is, there the fire goes out. So where there's no talebearer, the strife ceases. As coals are to burning coals and wood to a fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down deep into the innermost parts of the belly. The church has suffered much at the hands of those who simply refuse to keep their mouths shut. There's much wisdom in the old adage, if you can't say anything good, don't say nothing at all. How evil speaking grieves the spirit. Next sin mentioned, malice. Evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. This word refers to things that are evil. It speaks of ill will toward another that manifests itself in a desire to injure them. I'll show them. They're going to pay. In other words, it is an attitude again, even with someone else, for what you think they have done for you. This is bitterness allowed to develop to its ultimate wretchedness. Malice says, you've hurt me, and I will make you pay. You've offended me, and I will have my pound of flesh. You're going to pay for this. When malice is in our hearts, we break fellowship with others. We destroy churches. We weaken the church. We destroy its testimony in the world. When the world sees us acting this way, the church is undermined and the unbeliever is confirmed in his rejection of the gospel. Malice is to have no place in our lives. When it is there, once again, it grieves the Holy Spirit. If we are truly saved, the things that I mentioned must and will be abandoned, one way or the other. If you don't come and repent of your sin and you keep on grieving the Holy Spirit, the next step for the Holy Spirit after you continually grieve him is just like a parent. Chastisement is coming, brother. Because there is absolutely one sin that the Lord will not put up with for any length of time, and that's unforgiveness. And all of these sins have to do with unforgiveness. You can't even say to our Father, Father, forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. Forgive us. And brothers and sisters, we are to ask for forgiveness. For all of us are guilty in some way, shape, or form of all those sins that I just mentioned. The sins must be abandoned. They have no place in our lives. We need to deal with our bitterness, our wrath, our anger, our clamor, our evil speaking, and our malice, because they all grieve the Holy Spirit. And just as the text from the other day in verse 26 said, "Don't be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath." Well, do not let the sun go down on your malice, your evil speaking, your clamor, your wrath, and your bitterness. Because they all grieve the Holy Spirit. And notice, only a person can grieve. So for anybody that thinks the Holy Spirit is just some kind of force or something, you don't grieve no force. You only grieve a person or a being. They grieve the Holy Spirit, all these sins. And brothers and sisters, I know the message is not the happiest message to hear, but it's what the text teaches, and I have to teach what's in the text. And the bottom line is, this is the reality of life. Many of us, our lives are the way they are because we haven't repented of these sins. And you wonder why your life is the way it is. It could be that you're grieving the Holy Spirit. But the good news is, here's the good news, brothers and sisters. The good news is that in Christ we can have forgiveness. We can be forgiven of any one of these sins. It can be over right now. Simply don't let the sun go down on your anger, meaning don't harbor any of those sins for one more minute. You can repent of them right now. You can come to the throne room of grace and mercy and say, Father, forgive me, for I have sinned. I have sinned. But Christ has paid the price for my sin. Cleanse me, wash me. I've sinned. I've been made aware of my sin through the preaching of the word. Cleanse me, Lord. Please cleanse me. And the Father will cleanse you. That's what repentance means. Confess your sin, but also forsake your sin. See, a lot of people think repentance is I confess my sin. That's part of it. Now you need to forsake it. Stop it. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. No bitterness, evil speaking. That's it. It's over. I repent of that. And you, if you be listening today and you're an unbeliever, you don't have the power to put away any of those sins, nor do you have the desire to put away any of those sins. That desire only comes from the Holy Spirit, who would be grieved in a believer's life. If you're not a child of God today, there's forgiveness for you, for you're guilty of all of those sins also. But there is forgiveness in Christ for sin. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But the difference between a believer and an unbeliever is you haven't come to Christ, you haven't repented of your sin, you haven't believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. So out of love, love for neighbor, my friend, if you are not a child of God, out of love for my neighbor, I'm telling you today, you need to be reconciled to God. Each and every one of us outside of Christ is an enemy of God. But the good news is he sent ambassadors out into the world that he was reconciling the world unto himself. Those that would simply repent of their sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ would receive a pardon for their sins. The sins committed. So I would admonish you today, come to Christ for salvation. If you be a child of God and you're guilty of any of the sins that I mentioned, repent of those sins today. Stop grieving the Holy Spirit.